You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's style is very unique, where he shares the message of the gospel unlike anyone else. It's real, refreshing, focused, and fun. Whether you find yourself in a good place, maybe in a difficult place, or possibly even in a very lonely place, let me encourage you that you've come to the right place. Now, if you're not able to stick around with us for all of today's talk, you can always listen to, download, and even share this entire message with a friend right from our website, richardellistalks.com. So, with today's talk, here's Richard Ellis.
The title of the day is Getting Fired. Now, I thought about asking people to raise their hand if you've ever been fired, but I don't think anybody's going to volunteer that information. Oh, yeah, I got fired. I'm really proud of it, you know. Has anybody ever been fired and you didn't? Well, that would be like, well, of course I didn't deserve to be fired. It's not any fun getting fired, is it? Now, I'm going to talk to you today about getting fired in a whole nother way, but it will tie into getting fired as well if that's where you were to end up. Well, let me talk to you about getting fired God's way. And I'm going to read you some verses out of Psalms, Proverbs, Isaiah, 1 Peter, 1 Corinthians, some of those, and talk to you about what getting fired means in a biblical way. And obviously, we're going to talk about being fired in a different way. Psalm 66, and I'm just going to read you verse 10, 11, and 12. Let's flip over here in this translation. Psalm 66, 10. For you, O God, have tested us. You have refined us as silver is refined. You brought us into the net. You laid affliction on our backs. You have caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but you brought us out to rich fulfillment. Now, there's a bunch of passages. We're going to look at a few of them today. But guys, you are not going to end up where God wants you to be without going through the fire. There's plenty of verses in 1 Peter. It's in Hebrews. There's some verses. If you show me someone who says, I want to know God's will, I want to know God, I want to do the right thing, I want to be the right kind of person, but I want to do it without going through any kind of suffering or trial, it ain't going to happen. And you say, well, I like the God thing. I like being able to know that if I die, I'll go to heaven. I just want a nice little house and a family and a car and a job and just make everything be beautiful. Your life will never amount to what it could if you don't allow God to take you through the fire and don't survive the fire. And these passages I'm going to read you, the context of a lot of them is silver or gold that's refined. And I used to be in that business, in that industry for a while. And I remember going into a jewelry shop. Almost every day you'd go in and these guys would buy. Some of you may have old wedding rings. Anybody got, well, don't even raise your hand on that. It'd be too many hands. You know how you got this thing that's real valuable. And I remember like people would come in, they've got this ring, you know, they got it. It was all special. They'd terrified to lose it. And all of a sudden they're going to say, well, can I sell this for so much an ounce? You know, get rid of this piece of junk. You know, it had memories, but the memories went sour. They just want to sell it. So you have like this bag of old wedding rings and graduation rings. And you're trying to get all of the impurities, in other words, the metal out of it, and just find out where the gold is. How do you do that? There is no way. I've got this wedding ring on. It is hard as a rock. I mean, it is just solid. It could be bent, but this thing can be turned to liquid. And if I don't straighten up at home, it may be very soon. Anyhow, it can be turned to liquid, but you're not going to turn it into liquid without doing what? Putting fire to it. It's got to have intense heat. And what happens when you take all that gold and put it in the heat is the impurities rise to the top, they scrape them off, and if you leave it, you do it over and over long enough, what you end up with is pure gold. And that's what we're after. That's what God's after with you, but you're not going to get there without going through spiritual fire. And some of you are trying, I've done this and probably still doing it. We are trying so hard. We want to be pure and we want to be refined and we want to be everything God wants us to be maybe, but we don't want the fire. And at some point, you're going to have a conversation with God and say, look, I'm going to agree to the fire. And whatever it is, I know these things are happening and I'm avoiding them. I'm trying to get out of these situations and you're trying to teach me something. A girl called yesterday, goes to the church, her car just stopped. Have you ever had stuff like this happen? Like, what is now what? She's up on an access road somewhere on the freeway and she's got a decent car, shouldn't stop. It just stopped. So she's calling people trying to get somebody to come pick her up and help her. And by the time I called her, somebody had already come and gotten her. The car was in the shop. And I sensed she was a little frustrated. I said, look, don't miss the opportunity. I said, this isn't about your car. This is about you and somebody else at the repair shop somewhere. Allow God to test you and don't miss what He's trying to do in your life and through your life in somebody else's life. All this bad stuff, you know, somebody asked me just recently, why do bad things happen to good people? That's a good question. Because that's how we learn. You say, but there's some really bad things. Somebody pointed out this family, the pastor, I think this guy was a pastor over this last week, and six children. Was there a car accident? Somebody remember the details of this? And like all the children were killed in this thing. What in the world is God doing up there? I mean, was he on break? I mean, what happened? You know, people don't get that. I don't understand, guys. From this side, I don't understand. But I'm going to promise you this. From the Scripture and what I know about God, from His side, it all makes sense. And it is devastating, it is trying, and that's a lot of times what it's meant to be. But you cannot change what happens sometimes once it's happened. So you're going to say, God, don't let me miss out on what you're going to do in and through this in spite of how tragic it is. And frankly, guys, you've only got a couple options here. You either try to avoid the fire and avoid the trial and avoid the problem and go around it somehow and get out of it and get absolutely nowhere in your life and complain and be upset and angry at God, or you say, all right, let's get this over with. Let's go through this. Let's learn what we're going to learn. There's a passage, I think it's in Hebrews, it's either 5:8 or 8:5 that says this. It's a little phrase, and it's talking about Jesus, and it says this. And he learned obedience through the things that he suffered. That's talking about Jesus. If I'm going to learn obedience, you know how I'm going to learn it? The same way Jesus did, through the things that I suffer. Now, I got a couple little girls and one growing up fast going to learn, you know, we got wooden spoons in my house that are, you know, obedience tools. And I kind of look at, well, she's not in here right now, but Victoria, I look at Victoria a certain way and, you know, mention cooking utensils, you know, just anything about the kitchen and a wooden spoon. And she kind of, you know, have you ever seen a kid that kind of go by you and they're looking at you and both hands go back like this and she is walking around me like this. And when she gets by, she hooks them down the hall. I mean, she is watching hands and cooking utensils and like, I don't want any part of that. Now, what is she doing? She has experienced my cooking. And see, once you've experienced it, you don't want any more. And frankly, guys, some of this stuff, all right, we got a private party over here somewhere. What was that over here? Sometimes the reason God does discipline us and these trials happen is so that He gets our attention. And next time we go to do it, He says, you know, remember that last time we went through this? Why don't we just pass on this time? Or are we going to have to go this again? And you discipline your children. You allow these things to happen. You stay after them so that they learn that when they're suffering, they're learning obedience, suffering obedience, suffering obedience. And they get the picture, hopefully. And it's amazing to me how many parents sit around talking about the kid. Well, I just don't understand why my children don't get it. I ground them, I discipline them, I take their allowance away, I do this, this, and this, and they're just not going to obey. And I say, well, you know what? I guess God has that same frustration with you and me. Somehow it makes all kind of sense that our kids don't obey us, but when it goes to us and God, and He's the Father trying to get our attention, and He's pulling out the spoons and whatever He uses, oh, I don't want any part of that. And we try to run around. I think it was, I can't remember which, I couldn't have been me. I think my dad was going to spank us one time, and I bet it was my sister. Sounded like something she'd do. And she found a couple of big books from his library and shoved one down this side of her jeans or whatever, one down that side. Well, she looked like she had some kind of growth. That was the first problem. I think it would have been like a bookworm. But anyhow, she had these in there. What was she trying to do? She's going to get spanked, but she thought nobody noticed, and the books would take the blow. Well, obviously that was discovered. Those were removed, and she got, you know, the full blow. Don't try to escape this fire, guys. Now, some of you, I don't know what your deal is, what you're trying to go through. I mean, the things that come to my mind, and I know the group in here well enough to know these things can apply. Sometimes the suffering is being alone. Or being sexually pure, or getting that way again. You say, but I don't want to say no to him, or I don't want to say no to her. I want to live the way I want to live. And if I stop, it's going to be physically and emotionally, it's going to be painful. I'm going to suffer. I don't want to suffer. But you make up your mind that you're going to suffer and say yes to God, no to the flesh, whatever it is you're trying to do, and you do the right thing. It pays off. I mean, people who are trying to lose a few pounds. You know, if you're used to doing that midnight bluebell run to the freezer, that tin roof, let's see, what was that other one? Tin roof, that chocolate sundae, any other specials that we would like to mention? And you say, well, I want to lose weight, but you don't want to give up the bowl of bluebell at midnight and at lunch and breakfast and dinner. So you're talking about wanting the gain, but you don't want the pain that comes with the gain. And you're going to have to face it. If you've ever watched a herd of cattle, if a storm's coming, if the cattle and there's a huge snowstorm, whatever it is, the bull, the leader of the crew, will face the storm and get all the cattle behind him. And what they will do is go straight through the storm. Instead of the storm chasing them, the bull will say, we're going to go through the storm, because the sooner, if it's coming at you, somehow that animal knows, if we'll just hit that storm and go through it, it'll pass over and it'll be gone. But if you run from the storm, what happens? The storm stays on you everywhere you go because you're running away from the storm. It kind of just sticks to you. And you think, why won't this, it doesn't stop raining in my life? Because you're not going to go through it. You're trying to run away from it. Now, does this make sense? Stop running from the stinking storm in your life and just face it and say, God, all right, let's do this. Let's get this over with. It's either therapy or surgery. I'm going to go for the surgery. And let him operate, let him put you in the fire and come out. Now, I'm promising you this too. It ain't fun. No testing is fun, the Bible says, for the time, but it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who are tested or who endure or go through it. It pays. It's awesome on the other side. It's not going to be fun. And some of you are running from a storm and some of you are in the middle of a storm and you need to hold on and let God do his thing because it's going to be worth it. Not just for you, but how God will use your life and so many other people's lives. Let me read you another one. Proverbs 17:3. The finding pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord tries the hearts. The Lord tests the hearts. There's a place for silver to be purified, gold, but God is the one who tests your heart and finds out what's going on with you. In Isaiah 48, verse 10, behold, I have refined you, but not with silver. I have chosen you in the furnace of affliction. I was talking to somebody yesterday about people like Helen Keller and all these, you know, these phenomenal people. You'd never heard beans about Helen Keller if she had just done what any blind, deaf, dumb person could do, and rightfully so, just try to make the best of it. And just be blind, just not be able to speak, not be able to hear, and everybody go, well, it's understandable, that's what happens. But somewhere, the bull inside of that woman said, here's a storm, and we're going for it. And you know what? Her life has inspired so many lives, not because she was just some woman with some handicaps, but because she said, you know what? Who cares about the handicaps? I'm going to be what I can be and more, and made the most of what she had. If most of us did even 10% of what that woman did, we'd make a difference. Now, why do we respect someone like that? These people like Corrie ten Boom, who went through the Holocaust and the prison camps. Why do we even hear about them? Because they are people who faced a storm, survived it, won. They won the battle. They were purified. And we respect and admire and look to them for some kind of direction. I have some friends right now, for some reason, a lot of them who have cancer. And it's very frustrating. And some of the treatment they go through is very painful. And it's very easy to just say, you know what, forget this. I don't know where God is. You know, they could just shut down and everybody would be sympathetic and go, you know what, that makes sense. But I encourage these people and say to them, look, you're going through something that I don't understand. And if you called me on the phone and said, Richard, I have cancer, I'm sick, I'm going through this, can you help me? Am I going to be able to say, oh, I know just how you feel? I don't know how you feel. Or I say, oh, I understand what you're going through. I don't understand what you're going through. Now, I could say something, you know, I don't know how you feel. I don't understand. Here's some words of encouragement. But if I said to you, you know what? I don't understand. I don't know how you feel. But I know somebody who has it or who has had it and has made it through it. And I'm going to have this person call you. You know what? They're going to listen. Because that person's going to say, yeah, when I had my treatment, I felt like this. And yeah, I feel like... And they're going to go back and forth. And the bottom line is this person who is in pain and is talking to the person who survived it, is looking for an answer. How did you get through it? And when the person says, there's no way in the world you're going to get through it without God, you're going to have to pray, you're going to have to do this, 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 and this is what works. The person's going to say, okay, there's a live body who's been through it, I'll try it. Now, how does that apply to you? You say, well, I don't have cancer. You got something. You got financial stress, you got kid stress, you got marriage stress, you got job stress, and you're either going to spend the rest of your week in life throwing up your hands going, well, I can't change this, and just complaining and being a nightmare to everybody around you, or you say, you know what, God, everybody's got stuff. And if this is my stuff and you're trying to teach me something through this, then I'm going to learn it, and I'm going to ask you to take what you teach me and you purify me to help somebody else, because if I'm going through this, somebody else is going through it. And the Bible says there is no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. There's people all over the world. There's no new sins. There's no new trials. Everybody, you're going to find yourself in a category somewhere, and God can use you if you'll let Him purify you and get you usable. Now, guys, this is huge. People rock along, if you're a Christian especially, they rock along, well, I don't know why I'm here, and my purpose and my meaning. You're in a storm, either running from it, going through it. God's trying to say, look, I'm bringing these things and allowing these things to happen in your life to get you and prepare you to minister to other people and to impact people around you. And people don't want to talk to losers. You ever notice that? I mean, you can gather losers together. I don't know if the losers are laughing or what happened there. You know what? You'll notice this. Losers kind of congregate. Have you ever noticed that? I mean, if you find a loser and you follow them around for a week and they're with a bunch of losers. But people who don't want to die losers say, you know what? I want to learn how to win in life. They're going to start looking for somebody who has experienced losing but has found a way to win. They go, wait a minute, that looks like me back 5 years ago. And how did you get out of that? How did you go through that? Is there hope for me? People looking for hope, some purpose, some meaning. And you're the person. There's only so many preachers on the planet. In a lot of ways, there's too many already. So don't put it off on the preachers. You're it in your job, in your office, in your family. Because people say, well, some preacher, he's supposed to live a certain way. And whether he is or not, who knows? But they got to see you every day. They smell your body all the time. And they go, this is a real live person. I know her life, his life. I know what they're going through. How are they going through this stress and making it? I'm going to find out the reason for the hope within them. And they start asking questions. Anybody can complain. Anybody can run the other way when a storm hits. But it doesn't work. All right, let me read you another one. 1 Peter 1:7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than that of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Christ Jesus. There's coming a day, guys, and I know this takes a lot of faith to see it, because sometimes you think life will never end or you pray it will one way or another. But there is coming a day when you're going to be so glad you did the right thing. And you're going to see the reason why you went through things. You say, well, I don't understand now. Then you're going to have to say by faith, God, I don't understand right now. But I believe that you've got a purpose and a reason for this, and I'm going to trust you, and I'm going to keep plowing until I see the answer. And if I don't see it till I see Jesus, fine. But I can either quit, shut it down, or keep going and let you use this for some good. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11. Now this applies not to so much just right now and getting fired. It applies to getting fired on the judgment day. Now listen to this. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. For if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he has built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Now that describes building your life. There is no other foundation. If you don't have Jesus Christ as a slab of your life, you're in trouble. And I say that without any apology. And if you say, well, I don't agree with that, then go to some other luncheon. Or they'll tell you something different. Because you're going to hear at this luncheon that Jesus is the slab. There's no attempt to be politically correct. There's only one thing worse than me being that direct, and that's being wishy-washy and so accommodating to everyone. We don't want to step on anybody's toes. Let me tell you something. If this whole deal is for real, and there's a heaven and a hell and a Jesus and God and all this is for real, you better thank God somebody will cut to the chase now, because it'll be too late then. So, it is my contention and my belief. You say, well, that's pretty strong. Guys, it's life and death. And there's nothing at stake here but your life and your eternity. And you say, well, I'm offended by that. Well, whatever. Anyhow, if you're going to build a life that's worthwhile, you're going to have Jesus as the slab. And there's a great story in the Bible you might have learned as a kid about the wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rains came. Let's sing that together. The wise man built his house upon... Oh, well, they know it. Oh, that's a scary deal. Sheesh. That's pretty scary. You know all the gestures, too? And the rains came down and the floods came down. We may just have to... Everybody seems to know it. I'll tell you the tragedy of knowing all those songs is some kids are never taught to live them. They can tell you the stories, but they don't know how to apply it to their life. And you get out there and the storm hits and you remember a little song, but you don't know how it works. Teach your kids to apply the stories and the songs to their life and show them in your own life. Say, you know what? This is one of those storms mommy and daddy are going through, or mommy by herself. And we don't have enough money to buy food, and we're going to have to, you know, cut back, and we're not going to get a happy meal. We're going to get the McNugget 12-piece so we share, and, you know. Y'all know about that stuff. Anyhow. But the storms hit, and the house that was built on the sand got washed away. See, if I don't talk to you about Jesus Christ and you go building your life, you know what? A storm's going to come along and wipe you off the beach. But if I tell you about Jesus and tell you to build your house, get Him on the slab and build from there, then when the rains came down and the floods went up, the house on the rock stood firm.
We'll get back to Richard in a moment to close out today's talk. But first, I want to share something about our program. Our mission is actually very simple, to take the planet. So it's our prayer that these daily talks from Richard aren't something you only hear and enjoy, but that they inspire you to share with others. Together, we can do this. The message of the gospel is something everyone needs to hear, and that's why it's such a priority to us. So join us in this important mission. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD to say you're in. Or you can get on board with us through our website, richardellistalks.com. Well, here's Richard with some closing thoughts for us.
Hey guys, trouble's coming your way. And I've been through it, and I got some going on now, and I got more coming. You're not going to get out of trouble. But it's what you do with it, and whether you go through it or run from it, that makes the difference. And if you will build your house with quality stuff, gold, silver, these things that survive, then one day when you are tested in heaven by God Himself and you go through that fire, then what's left? Now, I'm going to tell you the scary thing for me and anybody else is your life basically by this description. If you live 70 years chronologically, everything you've done, whether it amounts to anything in God's eyes or not, you say, well, I'm a good person. Was it done in Jesus' name? Was it done for His glory or yours? Well, but I gave $500 to Salvation Army. Did you give it, or did you give it to Him and He got the credit? What was your heart in it? So you get to the end, 70 years of life, and it's like God puts you in this cauldron thing or whatever, and fire goes to it. And whatever is Him is that nugget that's left. And that's what you got to show for your life. You say, yeah, but I was the supervisor over in the... I had an office on the 40th floor and I was somebody. But who was He? And you end up with whatever you end up. And it even talks about this tragically. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. There are some people who are believers who get heaven, but they miss life. And they get to the end, and they did it their way. And they go through the fire, and they make it literally by the skin of their teeth. And they got nothing to show for it. It's kind of like spiritual panhandling all your life. You go through the stuff, and you pick out the junk, and you say, God, I want to have something to show after my life is over. And when the fire hits, guys, pray that there's more left than you think. Or you can say, look, this is what mattered. This is the difference it made. You purified me early on. I allowed you to do it. And your life in me has made a difference in somebody else's life.
Thanks for listening today to Richard Ellis Talks. We're confident that the program blessed you, and we want to hear about it. One way is to give us a call and let us know. The number is 855-6-RICHARD. Another way is to drop us an email. Jump on over to our website, richardellistalks.com, and click on the Connect tab at the top. We'd love to hear from you. And while you're there at the website, there's a ton of great stuff there just for you. Things like all of the talks from Richard, a prayer wall where you can leave your prayer request, and a whole lot more. Check it out, richardellistalks.com. Finally, we love doing this program for you, but we're so grateful when you hop on board to help us with the cost. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD, or you can contribute through the website. It's easy and much appreciated. 855-6-RICHARD or richardellistalks.com. Until next time, God bless you, and thanks for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.